Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
So what you're talking about right now is that feeling of Armageddon. So a lot of times when we are, you know, especially in the beginning, starting these cases with these narcissistic people, whether it's divorce or custody, we have these feelings of, like you said, Armageddon. But attorneys and judges aren't feeling that. So how can we kind of help them along, you know, and help them understand what's really happening?
So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life.
So what you're talking about right now is that feeling of Armageddon. So a lot of times when we are, you know, especially in the beginning, starting these cases with these narcissistic people, whether it's divorce or custody, we have these feelings of, like you said, Armageddon. But attorneys and judges aren't feeling that. So how can we kind of help them along, you know, and help them understand what's really happening?
So it's not going to be, I mean, sometimes you have the smoking gun, you know, every once in a while there's that smoking gun, but most of the time it's actually an accumulation of evidence. So you're going to take your documentation and you can create an exhibit that says, you know, exhibit of how many times other parents changed their parenting time. You know, and you're going to have August 1st was supposed to start at 5 p.m., pick them up at 6, August 7th, da da da. And you have a spreadsheet at the beginning, and then behind it, you have all the documentation of the text messages like that. And so that's one exhibit. Another exhibit might be exhibit of times other parent lied. And you're going to have, you know, that they changed their story, and you're going to have the documentation of that. And I've won entire cases that way. And so it's not one thing most of the time. And that's what I think people think. And that's all part of what I call slay your negotiation with a narcissist, which is my slay program, which is strategy. SLAY actually stands for strategy, leverage, anticipate what the narcissist is going to do, and focus on you and your case. And by focusing on you and your case, what I'm talking about is being on the offensive. If you have a football team and, you know, all you're doing is defending yourself, and you have a great defense, this means that no one's scoring any points for you. So you have to be ready to go on the offensive. And how you do that is by focusing on you and your case and the strengths of your case. Why is it better for you to have the children? What can you offer that the other person cannot? You know, why are you entitled to alimony? Why are you entitled to more of the assets? Why are you entitled to more child support or whatever it is? So get your own house in order. That's something that people, if you've been so beaten down by a narcissist for so many years, it's almost a foreign concept to think about going on the offensive.
It like, right. There's so much guilt there.
Yes. Yeah. It's like against every cell of your body. Like, oh my God, I think it's guilt and fear and what's going to happen. And also just sort of like beaten down. Like, I mean, I can't tell you how many people have said to me, oh, everyone always believes her lies, or he's turned everyone against me, or she's turned the doctors against me, or he's turned the school against me, you know, and you just sort of feel like it's just, I can never turn this around. But you can.
One thing that was a turning point in my own journey those many years ago was visiting my local domestic violence center. And what she did, of course, they gave me a case manager and she could not represent me. But I'm glad you were talking about the documentation because she prepared me so well that I was able to win a restraining order pro se against my ex and his attorney. And so I had three different binders of evidence, one for myself, one for my attorney, one for the judge. And I had exactly what you said, lies, you know, not paying child support, and just different things that the judges and attorneys would be looking at. And I think the worst thing that we can do is not have any documentation and believing the lies, like when they convince you to save money on attorneys and come up with your own agreements and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, what they'll do early on in the case is say, you know, let's not spend lots of money. Let's not, you know, we can just settle this. I know what everything is worth. I know what we have. And so, you know, and clients will come to me and say, should I sign this? And I would say, I have no idea. I can stick my finger up in the wind and see if like, that sounds good. I mean, how would I know if you are signing your name on this dotted line and you're looking at me and saying, is this fair? How in the heck am I supposed to know that without looking at one single bank statement or one single piece of evidence? I mean, you can't know that in the beginning. So I always say to people, it's your life. And obviously there's a price for freedom. And, you know, if you want to just move on with your life and sign something, then you can do that. But here's the problem when you're dealing with if it's a true narcissist, they don't want to get to that end game that fast. What they want to do is manipulate you throughout the entire process. So they're going to say, oh, here are a couple of different options for settling the case. You can pick A or you can pick B. And then you spend 2 weeks talking to your lawyer, talking to your friends, talking to your mom, and everybody going, okay, what should I pick, A or should I pick B? Or here's this offer that's on the table, and it's less than I wanted to take, but at least it'll be over. And so you just kind of like go through this whole machination about whether or not you should take this thing or not. And then you finally go back to the person, you go, okay, I'll take option B, you know, like it's less than I want, but it'll be done and you'll be happy and I can be free of this person or whatever. Oh, well, B is no longer on the table. Yes, you have to take what you've just agreed to take, but I also want more. What I meant was if you take option B, it's only contingent upon you doing this, this, and this too. Or, you know, oh, but you also agreed to do this on the side. You know, they change it up in some way so that now suddenly part of it is agreed to, but not all these other things. You know, they'll add in all these other things like, well, yeah, we'll do this parenting plan, but now I also want ultimate decision-making authority for medical and educational. Or we'll do this parenting plan, but now you're going to pay 100% of all the extracurriculars. That was also part of that agreement, you know, things like that where you go, no, I'm not doing that.
So that's why it's best just to go straight to an attorney and not even fool around with all these agreements the narcissist wants to make.
Correct. And the other thing that they do early on is they try to turn you and your attorney against each other. So they'll say that your attorney is only in it for the money, that your attorney has too many cases, that your attorney's not very good, doesn't fight for people. I've heard that your attorney favors women or your attorney favors men, whatever they're not. You know, just BS stuff that they just make up. I mean, whatever they just want to make up. And then the person will come back. I mean, I had a woman one time The husband was trying to dismiss the case because he was saying they weren't Florida residents because they had been back and forth between Florida and where they were moving from another country.
I've heard of that happening too.
And so he filed a motion to dismiss. And at the same time, he was telling her that he wasn't going to fight the divorce. And so meanwhile, my paralegal is getting emails from his paralegal, his attorney's paralegal, trying to set the hearing on his motion to dismiss. Okay. And so my paralegal is reaching out to her going, does this date work for you for this hearing? Does this date work for you for this hearing? And she sends me back this email like, why are you setting this hearing? I told you that he said he's not fighting it, blah, blah, blah. And so I brought her in that day and I printed out the email from his attorney's paralegal from that morning saying, we would like to set this hearing. And I said, now listen to me. What he's saying to you is not the truth. If why would his lawyer be continuing to try to set this hearing if he's not fighting it? I said, so we have to have a little come to Jesus moment here. You know, you're either going to believe him and his lies. You've told me that he's been a pathological narcissistic liar for the past 25 years.
Right. And why are you believing him now?
Right. And, you know, you've hired me to protect you and be your advocate. That's my job. So, you know, I'm not doing anything other than trying to do that.
Right.
And so I said, you know, I said, you have three choices here. You can stay, roll over, or fight. And, you know, he's not being honest with you. And so when I said, I remember when I said, you know, your first choice is stay. And right away she went, no. I said, roll over or fight, you know. So she like, okay. And she never fell for it again. He was actually from the Middle East as well. He was, you know, of that old school where, you know, where he was from, you say, I divorced you three times.
Yes.
And then the women are like banished to some like
purgatory
street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't work. I think I'm glad you brought that up because I do get a lot of coaching clients who are married to Middle Eastern men or separated from them. And we don't follow those rules here. So if your Middle Eastern spouse is saying, I divorced you three times, okay, whatever, but we still have to follow the laws of the United States.
Yes, absolutely. But that's what he kind of expected, you know, you'll be living on the street and have no money. I mean, that's what
that's
wanted.
That's what they think.
Yeah. And it took 5 years. I mean, it was like all the sneaky things they do in divorce, you know, hide money, distort reality, gaslight, smear campaigns, all of those things were basically like a to-do list for him.
Exactly.
I mean, oh, let's see, I haven't done lying today. Let me make sure I do that.
Yeah.
Obstruction. Oh, ignoring court orders. Let me make sure I do that.
Yeah. Check.
Coming up, more on part two of Sneaky Things Narcissists Do in Divorce with guest Kim Saeed.
I remember when I was going through the smear campaign, you know, my ex was telling everyone that I was a drug addicted prostitute who was digging through dumpsters for my meals. When in reality, I was at home taking care of our son. I was an elementary school teacher and then tutoring after school. And I was just trying to live my life.
Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can learn more about dealing with narcissists in divorce, such as Part 1 of Sneaky Things Narcissists Do in Divorce, with guest Kim Saeed.
And that's so important that you brought that up. You don't want to get emotional when you are communicating by email, because attorneys and judges do look at what you're saying. So you want to avoid curse words and anything that can be misinterpreted as you being crazy.
And now we return to today's show.
I remember when I was going through the smear campaign, you know, my ex was telling everyone that I was a drug addicted prostitute who was digging through dumpsters for my meals. When in reality, I was at home taking care of our son. I was an elementary school teacher and then tutoring after school. And I was just trying to live my life. But everyone that he knew was thinking differently. And you just have to rise above all of that. And just remember, unless they have proof, viable proof that they can prove in court, you just have to let all of that go.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to focus on your case and the facts and getting your documentation, because otherwise, if you just get into that spiral of what are they doing and oh my God, what are they going to do next? It'll just eat you alive, which is what they want. And now they're stealing your future as well as your past. And you just don't want them to do that. You know, don't give them the power to continue to steal your life from you and rent space in your head.
Right. Because they can accuse you of things all day long, but unless they have proof, it's just hot air.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I'm just trying to look through our list and make sure that we, you know, have gotten through everything. And I think we have. I just want to, you know, just make sure that I say again, like, you can turn this around. You can go on the offensive. You know, it starts with you. You know, that's why there's people out there like Kim and people like me who are out there to try to tell you that this is not the end of the story. You know, it can get turned around. Kim actually did it. I've helped many, many people. I've actually had to deal with narcissists in my own life, which is part of the reason why I feel so passionate about this. And as well as thousands of them in my law practice over the last 20 something years. So you can go on the offensive, and you don't have to engage in the same schemes that they do.
Right.
You don't have to lie and be as horrible as they are. You can ethically manipulate the manipulator, but that's, you know, it's just slight ethically manipulating. But you know, just through documentation, creating a super strong strategy, figuring out what their weak points are, figuring out what your leverage is, and creating a case that you present to the court that says, you know, here's factor A of this statute. Here's my proof that I'm the better person for this factor.
So before we arranged this call and this session today, you were telling me about your program. And in the beginning of this interview, you mentioned that people don't want to spend a lot of money on attorney's fees. And one way they can avoid doing that, I think, is with your program. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how it can save them money in the long run?
Oh, absolutely. So the program is normally $697, but for your listeners, I'm giving a $200 discount if they use the code SLAY200, so SLAY200, to get $200 off. And that makes it $497. So it's less than the cost of, you know, a good lawyer's hourly rate, honestly. And one of the things I didn't say, but I should say, is that when narcissists are involved, the costs of attorney's fees is at least four times more. So if it's normally a $15,000 divorce, you're looking at $60,000. It's at least four times more, sometimes 10 times more, honestly, depending on who you're dealing with and how malignant they are. And so and don't expect that your lawyer is going to know everything. Lawyers mostly don't know what the hell to do. You have to hand them the leverage. They don't sit in your house. They don't see what's going on. You have to show them what's going on, and you have to know what to show them. And that's what I teach you. I mean, the lawyer doesn't have ESP. They can't sit there and go, oh, looks like this person is changing their schedule a lot of times. They don't know that, you know, unless you put it together, all the documentation, and create a summary and show it to them and go, look how many times he changed the schedule, or look how many times he lied, or look how many times she did this, or here's an email that proves that that she is smear campaigning me to the doctor. You know, the lawyer doesn't know those things. You have to bring it to them, and you have to know what to bring to them.
Right, and you have to be able to prove it most of the time, and that's why it is so important. You can't just run into your attorney's office and say, I'm trying to divorce a narcissist, and expect all these downloads just to happen, you know, for the attorney. You have to be able to prove it. You have to know exactly, as you said, the laws of your state, and, you know, get that documentation together. And I think your program kind of outlines that for people.
Exactly. So now your lawyer knows exactly what to do, plus how to respond. I mean, part of my program, I have 50 key phrases to disarm the narcissist. So
one thing I love about your program, I just want to say this before I forget, is that you have different strategies for the different types of narcissists. Can you go into that a little more?
Yeah. So I actually walk through the program and I say, okay, here's a covert narcissist. Here are the kinds of things that they do in a divorce. Here is a grandiose or overt narcissist. Here are the kinds of things they do in divorce. And here's a malignant narcissist. And here are the kinds of things they do in divorce. So you are going to have to build a strategy to anticipate, that's part of the A, what they're going to do, and build a strategy anticipating that. And if you don't know what type of narcissist you're dealing with, then you're seriously like a person with a little dinghy boat out in shark-filled waters with no oars and no way to move out of that. You truly are going to be eaten alive. And so what I created with this program is allowing people to have access, you know, to somebody like me who, you know, I normally charge like a $25,000 retainer, because if you're a good lawyer, people expect you to charge. You know, you can't be a good lawyer and say, I'm a great lawyer and my hourly rate is $100 an hour. People are going to go, well, you're obviously not very good if that's your hourly rate. I mean, that's the way our system has been designed. So for me to know my own value, which is another whole area of negotiation that I talk about, is knowing your value. And so for me to know my own value, I have to charge accordingly. So that's me in my law practice, but that's 100% different than me with this program and giving people access to information, knowledge, and strategy that is the exact one that I use for myself in my own cases. If you came to me as a client, this is what I would do. This is how I would say, give me this. I need you to put this together and hand this to me so that I can win your case.
I'm really glad you brought up knowing your value, because a lot of times I have spoke with people who are homemakers. Maybe they had wonderful, you know, jobs, then met the narcissist. The narcissist convinced them to quit and come and be a housewife or a house husband. Or maybe they have quit their job and are now working for the narcissist. And maybe they're on the payroll, but not really getting paid and that sort of thing. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that is a big struggle for folks who maybe aren't working outside the home. They don't really think they deserve anything. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough. I mean, one of the things that is kind of a, it's like chicken or egg situation with working is, you know, if you have a claim for alimony or support, whatever they call it, spousal support in your state, you know, going out and getting a job may reduce your alimony claim. But on the other hand, you are probably going to need to do that after the divorce. So it's kind of a chicken or egg situation. And a lot of times the moneyed spouse is pushing you to go back to work anyway. But it's just a difficult situation. I mean, sometimes they'll be like, oh, you know, go back to work. You can make $80,000 or whatever. And you're thinking, well, I haven't worked in 10 years. I've been home with the kids and I still have a 2-year-old. You know, I mean, it's that those are tough situations, but, you know, I would say if you are the person who is looking for support or you have a strong support claim, then maybe talk to your attorney as to whether or not your attorney thinks that you should go ahead and get a job sooner rather than later.
And I think most court systems will look at you being a mother and then how much child care would cost and all that, wouldn't they?
They do. Yeah, 100%. That's all part of, you know, those best interest factors.
Awesome.
So I think this has been an incredible conversation. I love your perspective as a mother and a wife and somebody who went through this with a narcissistic ex-husband. And, you know, you're helping so many people.
Thank you.
So...
Well, thank you, Rebecca. I'm really excited to get this information out. And I'm really excited also to share your program with those who are in the divorce process. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.